Good morning. Welcome each of you to the Lord's house on this second Sunday of Christmastide, where we celebrate the presence of the Christ child with among us. We hope that you all had a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year as we now begin the journey into the year 2021. Thanks to everyone who helped put away the Advent decorations this past week. And also a special word of thanks to Pastor Dennis and Carrie Patience, who came out yesterday to clean off the sidewalks around the church. Whoever says that a preacher only works on Sundays doesn't know Pastor Dennis very well. So thank you, Dennis and Carrie, for your hard work. Was that yesterday or the day before? Friday. Okay, you were here during the snow, actually. Okay, they came back at six for round two. All right. Well, let's give Dennis and Carrie a hand for their hard work. And Kathy Connell has commissioned a local designer to make these designer face masks. They say Berry Christian Church and have our logo on the front. They're cloth and they're, I think, 3-ply. If you would be interested in ordering one, Kathy's going to place an order later this week and I think next week as well. So just see her in the back on the way out today. Thank you again for your attendance this morning. Andrew, good morning and Happy New Year, my friend. Would you lead our call to worship, please?
Happy New Year. Please rise for the call to worship. Teach us your ways, O Lord. Make them known to us.
Teach us according to your truth.
For you are our God who saves us. We always trust in you.
You are righteous and good, O Lord.
And teach us the path we should follow. Let us sing our opening hymn, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. It's hymn number 622. We'll sing all stanzas.
Guide me, O Thou Great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but Thou art mighty. Hold me with Thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Feed me till I want no more. Open now the crystal fountain whence the healing waters flow. Let the fire and cloudy pillar lead me all my journey through. Strong deliverer, be thou still my strength and shield. Be thou still my strength and shield. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Bear me through the swelling current, land me safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises, I will ever give to Thee. I will ever give to Thee.
May we bow for a word of prayer. Loving God, we begin our service this morning with gratitude. We express thanks that we are able to worship in this place, despite obstacles, including snow and a global pandemic. We pray for our safety as we contemplate each of these challenges in the upcoming days. Merciful God, as we begin our worship, we pray that we might feel the living presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the gift of the guide, comforter, and counselor known as the Holy Spirit, who will teach us all things and remind us of everything Jesus has taught us. We thank you for such a profound gift. It is in the name of Christ Jesus that we pray. Amen. take a couple moments to greet and welcome those around you before taking your seats.
Happy New Year, everyone. It's a joy to see you in the Lord's house on this second Sunday of the season we call Christmastide. A number of people for us to remember in our prayers this week, and of course, the list of folks who have the coronavirus seems to kind of be a revolving process here, as we're grateful that many whom we've been lifting up with the virus have gotten over it, but at the same time, we have new folks to lift up as well. Linda Eichen is in the intensive care section of the St. Luke's Hospital on the Plaza. She does have the coronavirus and also has other health concerns that make that more acute. Also, Linda Stevens and two of her co-workers have tested positive for the virus, and she is home at the present time. Roger Blakely's co-worker, Steve Hampton, and his wife, Melissa, both have the coronavirus. Melissa works in a nursing home, and she's the one who kind of brought it into their household. Roger and his co-worker, Steve, have been maintaining a lot of social distance protocols for all through this entire process, because many of you are certainly aware that Roger has been making that journey beyond leukemia. And so all the more reason why that's been so very important for Roger. And at this point, Roger and Barbara do not have the virus. We praise God for that and hope that status continues to be the case in the days ahead. Betty Donahue's granddaughter, Hannah, is another person we've been lifting up dealing with the virus. And Michael Wall is still at home dealing with respiratory concerns as a consequence of the virus. And Pam Roberts, you know, she moved to Oklahoma, and her son-in-law, where she is now living, has tested positive for the virus, and others are symptomatic. So please keep that family in your prayers, too. We also want to lift up Matt Cambron. He is the father of Courtney, who is a friend of Alex Chester. And Matt is in the intensive care section of North Kansas City Hospital, having experienced a heart attack and had several stents placed in the arteries of the heart. So we continue to pray for his successful recovery in the days ahead. Wren Aller is going to be undergoing hip replacement surgery on Thursday of this week, the 7th of January. This is an injury from back in his childhood, early adulthood years. And so it's been giving him trouble for some time. It's time to go ahead with the replacement. The timing of that is going to be coinciding with the fact that they're anticipating the birth of their second child about the middle portion of February. So while he is off for maternity leave time, this will give him an extended time period to recover. So please remember Wren and Katie with all that is going on in their family now. Grace Kimberling is now home from North Kansas City Hospital, and Wanda Littrell and Jean Booth have both made moves to new residences in the last several days, and we hope all that goes well for them. And we continue to lift up Michelle Egret's baby, Zoe, who continues to be at Children's Mercy Hospital. With these folks and others that we've been remembering in our prayers, may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence. Lord God, as 2020 appears dimmer in the rearview mirror, and as the new year of 2021 lies in the pathway before us, we recognize that even though the only major thing changing is the year on the calendar, we appreciate how it has often been your desire to renew much within our hearts and minds as we make our way through life's journey. We remember how you began the calendar anew as you created the ceremony of the Passover as a symbolic way for the Hebrew people to leave Egyptian bondage in their past and follow you anew as they would be dependent upon your everyday care as they made their way through the wilderness. For as the prophet stated in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19, "Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. We remember, O God, that your Son came into the world to wipe away the transgression of our sins, and he offers us, one and all, the privilege to leave behind our sinful ways and begin a new and living relationship with you as we commit ourselves to a new life in Christ as our Lord and Savior. So no matter what ongoing challenges we may face in 2021, even as the pandemic rages, unemployment lingers, and many things appear uncertain, may we realize that a great victory has already been won over sin, and we are destined to find great renewal in your presence, O God. For as we are told in Revelation chapter 21, verse 5, that he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." We offer this prayer as we also recite the prayer our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Savior reigns. Let all their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy. Joy, unspeakable joy, an overflowing well no tongue can tell. Joy, unspeakable joy, it rises in my soul, never lets me go. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations proof the glories of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love. Joy, unspeakable joy, an overflowing well no tongue can tell. Joy, unspeakable joy, rises in my soul, never lets me go.
What a blessing we have in Andrew's music ministry. Andrew, thank you for sharing that precious gift with us again this morning. During this first Sunday of the year 2021, we all hope that before this year is over, we can once again gather at the Lord's table in true communion, sharing the elements of bread and wine as was done according to Scripture and as we have done here at Berry for more years than any of us have been around. But during this time of our modified services, may we instead turn to our community reflection found at the bottom of the first inside page of your bulletin. God says to us, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. Our hymn of contemplation is number 545. He leadeth me, O blessed thought. We will sing all stanzas.
Blessed thoughts, all words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me by his own hand. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Lord, I would place my hand in thine, nor ever murmur nor repine. By water still or troubled sea, still 'tis thy hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me by his own hand. He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory's won, even death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me by his own hand. He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me.
Scripture reading I'd like to share with you is from Matthew's Gospel, the second chapter, verse 13 through verse 23. And again, a significant portion of this to you if you were here last Sunday, because it is a portion of what we read last Sunday as I am continuing on this story of what happened to Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus after his birth. Beginning with the 13th verse, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph and said, Herod will be looking for the child in order to kill him. So get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt and stay there until I tell you to leave. Joseph got up, took the child and his mother and left during the night for Egypt, where he stayed until Herod died. This was done to make come true what the Lord had said through the prophet, I called my son out of Egypt. When Herod realized that the visitors from the east had tricked him, he was furious. He gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its neighborhood who were 2 years old and younger. And this was done in accordance to what he had learned from the visitors about the time when the star had appeared. In this way, what the prophet Jeremiah had said came true. A sound is heard in Ramah, the sound of bitter weeping. Rachel is crying for her children. She refuses to be comforted, for they are dead. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, Get up, take the child and his mother, and go back to the land of Israel, because those who tried to kill the child are dead. So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went back to Israel. But when Joseph heard that Archelaus had succeeded his father, Herod, as king of Judea, he was afraid to go there. He was given more instructions in a dream. So he went to the province of Galilee and made his home in a town named Nazareth. And so what the prophets had said came true. He will be called a Nazarene. May we bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Gracious and holy God, we're indeed grateful for the privilege to be in worship on this second Sunday of the season we call Christmastide. And as we are mindful of the obedience of Mary and Joseph and their willingness to follow the guidance of the Spirit, we are challenged to follow your guidance through your Spirit as well as we make our way through each and every day. May it indeed truly be said of us, as it certainly was said of Joseph, God told me. It's in the name of Christ we give thanks as we study your word. Amen. In biblical tradition, Joseph so often takes a back seat to the prevalence of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And maybe that's in some part because of the fact that he died likely before Jesus began his ministry. But last Sunday and today, I've tried to emphasize just how important it was that Joseph willingly responded to the prompting of God's instructions. For without Joseph's faithfulness, the early success of Christ's childhood journey could easily have failed. And maybe one of the ways for us to bring forth the prominence of Joseph in the consciousness of Christian followers is for you to ask of other believers that you know a simple trivia question. Ask them, how many times did Joseph receive instructions through dreams? I would venture to guess that many would tell you, oh, well, once. And they'll say, oh, yeah, that was that time when Joseph was told it was okay to marry. Or others might say, oh, well, there were twice that the message came through the dream. The one where it was okay to marry, and, of course, also when he was told to leave and go to Egypt. Most folks would probably get at least one or two of those, but the answer that we discover from our text is that there were four different occasions in which Joseph responded to guidance from the Spirit of God through dreams. Let's look at them. Luke chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. This is that first one. An angel of the Lord appeared to him, meaning Joseph, in a dream, and said, Joseph, descendant of David, do not be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, for it is by the Holy Spirit that she has conceived. She will have a son, and you will name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And then that second time, Luke chapter 2, verse 13. After they, meaning the wise men, had left, An angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph and said, Herod will be looking for the child in order to kill him. So get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt and stay there until I tell you to leave. And of course, we know from the next verse, verse 14, that Joseph did in fact get up even in the middle of the night to start that journey. The third occasion, Luke chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother and go back to the land of Israel, because those who tried to kill the child are dead. And then that fourth occasion, Luke chapter 2, verse 22 and 23. But when Joseph heard that Archelaus had succeeded his father Herod as king of Judea, he was afraid to go there. He was given more instructions in a dream, the text says. So he went to the province of Galilee and made his home in a town named Nazareth. And so what the prophets had said came true. He, meaning Jesus, will be called a Nazarene. In biblical times, it was a common belief that credible messages from the divine realm came in the form of dreams. And Joseph, because of his faith in God through his Jewish upbringing, had no reason whatsoever to question the dreams that were given to him. And it was through Joseph's immediate obedience to the divine instructions that the early steps of God's plan for the salvation of humanity were successful. You see, we really need to give Joseph more credit than he is often given. We don't need to just brush aside his life. We need to honor and celebrate the living testimony of faithfulness that his obedience describes for you and me. The problem is, you know, we rush through the Advent season and we know the story about, you know, Jesus being born in Bethlehem. And then we just kind of leave it there. We just got to read a few more verses in the text of Matthew to understand that there were many more important things that took place for the ongoing message of salvation through Christ to be successful. And not only were faithful people like Joseph willing to be obedient to God's guidance through dreams, we remember from last Sunday that even Herod, as narcissistic and as evil as he was, he believed in the power of God's heavenly realm working in the world. He just wanted to manipulate God's plan, reported from the wise men and confirmed by Herod's own spiritual advisors, that there would be a new born king of the Jews. But he wanted to assure himself that he alone would be the only king of the Jews. And therefore, that's why he had the infant male children destroyed in Bethlehem and in the surrounding area. Many folks today are skeptical about divine intervention. Unfortunately, many believe that occurrences of God's divine intervention only happened back in biblical times. Some folks would say, oh, well, you know, that kind of had to happen because Jesus was coming. That's why the Holy Spirit spoke to Joseph. But what I want to propose to you is that we need to understand that God's divine intervention happens in our own day and time. We just need to know the stories of those experiences. By now, likely everyone has heard the story of the Christmas Day RV explosion in downtown Nashville, Tennessee. As it unfolded, it was one more incident of a likely mentally disturbed individual acquiring an inordinate amount of firepower, inflicting tremendous damage in an effort to make a name for himself. And sadly, that scenario has been repeated over and over and over again in our more recent history. We are saddened that he lost his life and that three more were injured and that millions in property damage were inflicted. Yet for today's message, it was the story of a Nashville police officer that should catch the attention of every godly person. For the boldness of his testimony warms the heart of believers and ought to enlighten non-believers. We've seen the photos of the six metropolitan Nashville police officers whose actions saved many people's lives during the Christmas Day bomb explosion. At one point, after the downtown area had been largely cleared, one officer, James Wells, said he was walking back toward the RV. And of the incident, he later recounted in a story that hit the national news networks. He quoted, this is him being quoted, as he stepped up to the mic. This might not be politically correct, but this is my truth, and I literally heard God tell me to turn around and go check on Topping. He was referring to Officer Amanda Topping, who was a distance behind him. He says, I was going to check on Topping, who was by herself down on Broadway. And as I turned around, for me, it felt like it took three steps and the music stopped. And as I'm walking back toward Officer Topping now, I just see orange, and then I hear a loud boom. I just tell myself to stay on your feet, stay alive. And I just take off in a full-out sprint, and I'm running toward Topping and make sure she's okay. And we kind of meet in the middle, and we just grab each other. Topping also said that something told her to change her direction moments before the blast she saw. She moved toward the other side of the street and saw Wells turn toward her. She said she was about 10 to 14 steps away from him when the RV exploded. I just saw the biggest flames I've ever seen, the biggest explosions, he said. She said she saw orange and then felt the heat wave as she saw Wells stumble. I don't know how I kept my footing, but I kind of blanked and that I could see him for a second, and I just lost it. I just took off in a sprint toward him, she said. I've never grabbed somebody so hard in my life. She said they ducked into a doorway because they weren't sure what was coming after the initial blast, describing the scene with windows shattering as something like out of a movie. Officer James Wells went on to say, I'm a spiritual person, and so I truly believe that when I do this job, I'm led by that voice, how I treat people, how I go about doing this job every day. That's what guides me. Wells said, and I truly believe that that's what guided me in that sense because I was literally getting ready to walk back toward that RV. And you watch the video, you can see that moment of clarity for me when I heard God say, go and check on Topping. That voice, he said, is what allowed me to see my kids and wife on Christmas. You know, I think we really ought to take our hats off to Officer James Wells. Don't you? You know, when I saw this story, I just wanted to praise God. I think because what struck me the most was here was a gentleman, a man of faith. And he was willing to make a testimony about what is happening in his faith journey. It would have been so easy for Officer Wells to have said nothing about this incident, right? He could have said, I better not do that. If I say anything, somebody's going to be upset because after all, I am a public servant. I shouldn't be saying anything about my faith, but no, I praise God that Officer Wells stepped up to the plate and he spoke about his faith. Even if he did say, well, you know, this may not be politically correct, but, and what he is saying is, I heard God. And in responding to the call of God, his life was spared. And isn't it a wonderful occasion to realize that a person who is also willing to say, you know what, every day I offer up prayer to God for guidance so that as I do my job every day, I hope I do it in a way that brings glory to God and benefits other people. That's essentially what he's saying, right? Praise God. He gives us that testimony. Because you see, he is telling us one more example as to how the Spirit of God is active, vitally active, in our lives, just as active as the Spirit was in that very crucial time when Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus needed to be protected from the mighty wrath and horrific power of Herod the Great. Praise God, Joseph had the wherewithal to listen to the voice in the dreams, if you will, and respond. And praise God for people like Officer Wells in our day and time who are willing to step up and say, God told me. You know, we believe that we are spiritual people, but I wonder how often we are inclined to genuinely seek the Spirit's guidance on a daily basis, as did Officer Wells and as did Joseph. May we truly be inspired by the example they set for us. Another text I'd like to share with you and for you to remember as you journey through this week, and it's one that we used for one of our readings in the bulletin this morning. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. Wonderful image here. And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. When you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. The testimonies we've heard today should remind us, every one of us, has the opportunity to hear the Word of God, whether it be from Scripture, whether it be from that still small voice in our consciousness, or whether it be a miraculous intervention like a dream or a voice. God wants to talk to you and guide you today. Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, today is your day to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Or today can be your day to come forward and become a part of our fellowship at Berry Christian Church. As we turn to our hymn of invitation, number 556, we'll sing stanzas 1 and 4 of Trust and Obey. Number 556. May we stand and sing, please.
And we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word. What a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still. And with all who will trust and obey, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He says we will go. never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
I want to lift up to you and celebrate with you that Maggie Scherer came forward during the first service and made her confession of faith, and we are discussing the possibility of her baptism by her grandfather, Pastor Bob George, and we will see what the family decides about that as we journey forward in the days ahead, but certainly joyful occasion for us to celebrate with Maggie and the Scherer family this morning. Do also want to remind you that if you were wanting a poinsettia, we still have a few of them in the smaller foyer. If you'd like to just pick one up on your way out the door, you're more than welcome to do so. And we wish you all the very best as we make our way through this second week of this season we call Christmastide. May we bow our heads in prayer. Lord God, guide us as we depart. We know your Spirit is with us, and for that we indeed give thanks. May we listen to your voice and follow your guidance day by day. It's in the name of Christ we give thanks for the privilege to worship you this day. Amen.
Strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to Thee, just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through this world of toil and snares, I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but Thee, dear Lord, none but Thee. Just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee, let it be, dear Lord, let